Welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. The three keys to your success is just moments away. Here's your host, Brian Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. We have an amazing, amazing show lined up for you tonight. I can't wait for you to meet our guest expert, Robert Walsh. This young man is amazing. Met him not too long ago, and he made a huge impression on me, so I can't wait to dig in and get some deep value out of this young guy because he is full of it, and I mean value. I don't know where you were going with that. So, the Mind Body Business Show, what is that all about? For those of you that might be first-time viewers, it's very important. There are the three pillars of success. First, there's mind. That stands for mindset. Without an unstoppable, powerful, and positive mindset, it's very difficult to succeed in life, not just business, but in personal life as well. And behind that, there are proven tools for success. There's one that is called the Science of Excellence, and that is Neuro-Linguistic Programming, or NLP for short, that I learned and mastered some time ago, and now, as a result, my life has changed completely, forever. And we might or might not talk about that tonight. We talk about different topics every show. Then there's body. What is that all about? Well, the body, you want to take care of that. That is your temple. That is everything that keeps your mind working is dependent on your body. And they're codependent. They really depend on each other. And the body, you want to stay fit. You want to exercise. You want to keep that blood flowing, those joints lubricated. And you want to eat clean, nutrition. High nutrition food, drink a lot of water like our guest is doing this very moment. You can't see him on camera. He is slugging it down. That's my man. And business. Business. You want to be able to master the key areas of business like sales, marketing, team building, scaling your business. Now, when you are at a point of mastering all three areas, then you are operating at what I call a peak level of performance. And, you know, the mind and body, just those two by themselves, you know, they're a team. More importantly, they are your team. And now add business to that. Now you have three parts of a team. It's like a tripod. If you have three legs holding up a camera, say, for example, and one of those legs happens to tumble, fall away, or detract, what happens to the whole tripod? The camera, the brain at the top. It comes crashing down, doesn't it? So the key is to master, or at least continue to strive to master, all three areas of your life. Now, if you haven't mastered any one of them, then when would now be the right time to start? And that foundation would start with the mindset. For those of you watching, that's a big, big tip. And I've got something really cool in store for you by the way of our special guest. He's coming on very soon, I promise. You see a bunch of these things behind me on this shelf. Yeah, those are called books. They're meant for reading. You open them and you actually read them. And a cool thing happened many years ago, actually. A mentor of mine had me in his office, flew me out East Coast. We had a big deal we were discussing. It was a big deal. Had me picked up in a limousine, and it was a lot of fun in addition to getting some business taken care of. And during the 2 days I was in his office, I was sitting on this couch. He was standing talking to me. And the topic was, he said, Brian, if people only knew, if they just did this one thing, they would all be super rich. And I said, okay, what is it? And at that moment, he turned away from me, went to the opposite wall where there was this floor-to-ceiling double-door cabinet. And he grabbed both handles and opened up the doors as he looked back. And what I could see there was similar to what you see behind me, and that is shelf after shelf after shelf of books. Now, these weren't science fiction books. These weren't entertainment books. These were like self-help business books, transforming mindset books. And he said, if people would just read, that's all they need. I thought, that can't be it. You've got to be kidding me. That's the secret to success is reading? I mean, there's no skin in the game. I could go to a library and actually read all those for free because they'd all be available. So how could that possibly be the key to success? And I made a huge mistake, and I discounted that advice. I did not heed his advice at all. In fact, I read zero books for years after that. Thankfully, I ran into and became very close friends with another mentor of mine. I worked with him for several years. And he basically said the same thing. He said, you know, to become successful, you really need to read a lot more. I said, man, I've heard this before. And one of the things that set him apart, I guess two things. One was he showed by example, and the other one was I was finally ready. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I noticed that he would walk around with headphones on a lot. And I said, hey, man, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm listening to a book. I said, listening to a book? There's such a thing like that? Oh, yeah, yeah. And so he told me about this application, this app called Audible. And so I went and started listening to books, and I thought, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life? Because I love listening. I don't really care to read a book. My eyes get tired, they get strained. I get tired, and I never can go past 10 pages before I'm done for the evening. And so I started listening voraciously and reading these books through this Audible app. And on this app, there's a little icon that you can tap. And what happens if you tap that icon is it stores an electronic bookmark right at that moment. So when you see or hear something, when you hear something that really is profound, all you have to do is a quick tap and you've already instantly stored that location. And I thought, this is brilliant. I don't have to reread an entire book. I mean, how many of you have reread entire books? And you know, when you read a book, a lot of it is storytelling, which is valuable, but the really juicy parts are sometimes far and few between. So now I can just go back and replay these bookmarks. And the beautiful thing is, tonight we're going to do that just for you right about now in a segment I appropriately call Bookmarks.
Bookmarks. Born to read. Bookmarks. Ready. Steady. Read. Bookmarks. Brought to you by ReachYourPeakLibrary.com.
Yeah, there it is. ReachYourPeakLibrary.com. And for those of you watching and listening right now, whether you're watching live or listening live or the recording, just stick with us. In fact, if you are driving, pull over. Take notes. If you're watching, take notes. In other words, stay here. We're going to give you some resources during the show. Don't go typing in the web address and checking it out. Stay here because the value lies in our special guest. I promise you he's coming up very, very soon. But this is one resource I wanted to share with you, and it's reachyourpeaklibrary.com. It is here. I built this literally for you, the entrepreneur, the business owner, the person who's looking to get out of their corporate job. This is a compilation of books I personally read. And here's the story I just told you, and I give you a short version of it. If you want to see the whole thing, it's right there in both video and reading form. But here is a library of books that I have personally read. And it's actually not even complete because I was just telling my man right before we got on the show that I'm falling behind. I'm probably 10, 15, 20 books behind on putting in here. But every single book in here, the point is, every single book in here had some kind of profound effect on me personally. And the beautiful thing about that is you can leverage that. You can say, at least I know somebody who has gotten benefit from reading these specific books. And that way you don't waste your time reading just any book. And so this is a great resource for you to go to. You can see there are different versions, Audible, hardcover, Kindle. You can pick which one you like the most. And put these together. There's about 40 in this list. I've read every single one of them. Not every book I've ever read is in this list. That's because not every one of them had a profound impact on me. And so what I've done is each one of these books is I've listened to on Audible, me personally. And what I've done is stored bookmarks along the way. And so what I would like to do is play one such bookmark for you right now. And that is a book called Relentless by Tim S. Grover. And this actually came to me by way of a previous guest who, my man who's about to come on, we both know very well, Carlos Redlich. He recommended it on the show. And I immediately downloaded it and I read it straight through in two sittings in 2 days' time. And it's an amazing book. Tim S. Grover, he trains high-class athletes, the top of the top. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, mostly basketball, but he's done others as well. And he has helped them develop the mindset they need to excel. And so you now can see the guy behind the mind of these amazing athletes. So I'm going to play this snippet. It's about a minute in length. So again, take notes. Just listen intently. And what he's going to talk about is just do the work. Here we go. Tim Grover, Relentless.
Do the work. Do the work. Every day, you have to do something you don't want to do. Every day. Challenge yourself to be uncomfortable. Push past the apathy and laziness and fear. Otherwise, the next day you're going to have two things you don't want to do, then three, and four, and five, and pretty soon, you can't even get back to the first thing. And then all you can do is beat yourself up for the mess you've created. And now you've got a mental barrier to go along with the physical barriers. For my guys, I'm the thing they don't want to do. For you, maybe it's something at the office, or at home, or at the gym. Either way, you have to do those things or you can't improve. You can't be the best, and you sure as hell can't call yourself relentless.
Relentless. What a great tip there. I mean, how many times have you embarked on something in business or not embarked on it because, ooh, I don't want to do that. That's going to be effort and it's not fun. Oh, here's a hint. There's a reason that sometimes it's called work. So get over it. Do the work like Tim S. Grover talks about. And I thought this was appropriate because of the gentleman we're about to bring on, because he's all about doing the work. He just gets it done. And I could tell from the moment I met him that he was one of those people. He was driven, and he's not going to let anything get in his way. And I'm really excited to bring him on. So given that, why don't we just go ahead and do just that? Let's bring on our special guest.
It's time for the Guest Expert Spotlight. Savvy, skillful, professional, adept, trained, big league, qualified.
And there he is, ladies and gentlemen. It is Robert Walsh. Robert, how are you doing, my buddy?
Good, man. Good, man. The intro was legit. Like, I'm excited to hear what I have to say now. What's going on?
I love it. Hey, real quick, I'm going to give you a quick shout-out intro, and then we'll get rolling. So Robert's Great. Goal is to help as many people as possible. I already love this guy in the first five words, or six, or however many that is. Help as many people as possible to harness their true identity to relate to their target audience in hopes of removing the facade that we're so tempted to mimic in the current online industry. Boy, that's true. Transparency and honesty are the biggest factors for creating a loyal following, as well as scaling your network, turning fans to brand advocates, and strangers into friends. And before we jump headlong into it, I want to make a quick announcement, if that's okay, Robert, and that is stay on to the end. If you're watching this live, stay on to the end. You do not want to miss this, because we are going to give away a five-night, get my hand in the camera, five-night vacation stay at another five-star resort in Mexico. And that is provided by our wonderful sponsors of powertexting.com, my good friends Jason and Rhonda, who head that up. So stick around for that. Now, finally, we're going to get to the man, the myth, and the legend by the name of Robert Walsh. So, hey, man, it was a cool bio. It gives us a little bit of a taste about you, but if it would be all right with you, I'd like to dig a little deeper, kind of to find out what makes you tick. Very similar to what Tim Grover does in his book, is he pulls back the curtain, and by the end of it, we know what makes every one of those elite athletes tick, what made them so unbelievably successful. And there are many facets. So what I wanted to ask you was, you know, what is something that just drives you? What gets you up in the morning? You know, you wake up and you bounce out of bed full of vigor, full of excitement in life. And then to that end, go ahead and let us all know, what are you working on right now? What's a project that you're really proud of and you want everybody to know about?
Oh, man. Again, thanks. That's awesome. Well, what gets me out of bed, I guess I'll get to that first and just go into what I'm working on. Just to put it out there real quick, I get bored easily. So every day is a new opportunity for me to do something different. And I think that let's take it for granted a lot. Like we have, you know, each day is a new opportunity. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's true. And a lot of us get wrapped up in this like mundane, like tedious lifestyle. You know, we have 9-to-5s or even if we're like an at-home parent, you know, we just have the same routines every day. And it's really like up to us to kind of incorporate new things in order to, you know, keep the excitement there. So in that, I'm actually blessed to have the opportunity to, I was approached by my buddy Robert Nava about helping them with content and really helping with the community of the Million Dollar Mastermind. And actually, where I met you was in an event that, you know, involved all of us getting together and networking and stuff. So it's just really great, and it's really what I like doing. You know, working on that and making content, just really reaching out to people. Background with me, I started doing content marketing, article marketing, actually, for local businesses in the Chicago area in like 2009. So just from the point of stepping out of the blue collar lifestyle, it was never corporate, it was never my thing. So it was always like creative stuff, like welding or construction from the time I was a teenager. So it really kind of got an interest in like being able to reach out to people in these businesses and like really see what they're doing, what they have going on, and just, you know, learning about it. And from there, it just kind of moved into kind of an interest in, you know, what is everybody doing every day? What do they do in their lives? You know, how does their business work? How does their mind work? You know, what are they doing to tell people about their business? And that's kind of where I got to where I am now, just an interest, you know, kind of intrigued with what other people are doing. You know, growing up, I had a pretty kind of boring life, I guess you could say. I mean, it was eventful, you know, not always the best events, but overall, it was pretty boring. I was homeschooled. We moved around a lot because of my dad's job, kind of going where the work was. So I was I kind of forced to entertain myself. So just over the years, I've kind of developed ways of doing that with like learning different things or just really getting my hands dirty or helping other people with what they have going on, because I didn't have much going on. So that's pretty much where I'm at now, just helping people do what they got to do to get their message across.
You see, and that's one of the most endearing parts about you and every other entrepreneur I've thus interviewed on this show, is the will, not just the willingness, but the desire to serve and help. You said it several times, and you wanted to help people even when it wasn't even going so great for yourself. I mean, that tells me about you to your core, your character, your integrity, and that says a lot. And I loved a couple of things you said in that opening right there was, it's one of curiosity that drives you. You're very curious about how other people do what they do and how they get to where they got. And it's interesting because that is one of the key traits of many successful people. Quick story, my mentor, Mel Cutler, tells a story of meeting Richard Branson. You know, very, very successful, very wealthy, has Virgin Atlantic Airlines. He's putting ships into space. I mean, the guy is incredible. And he met him, and they were talking face to face, and Richard came up to him and he goes, "Hey man, how you doing? What are you up to?" And our mentor's like, "What are you talking about? You're Richard Branson. I want to ask you questions. I want to know about you," you know. And he didn't say that, of course, but that's what he's thinking. So it's a trait of highly, highly successful people is to always be curious. And, you know, that's also a trait of anti-ego, isn't it? When you're interested in other people, you're not self-absorbed all the time, and you're curious about not just people, but things and how things work. And that's one of those things that just helps you create. And so I love this. I love this already. We're already hitting it out of the park. For those of you watching and listening, be absolutely certain to start writing notes. I'm the host of this show, and I'm already starting to write notes. So if you're not doing that, what is your excuse? I mean, you might be driving, so please don't take notes if you're driving. Please do take notes, because tons of gold. I've done lots of these shows, and every single time I know this one will be no different. There is a ton of value, and there might just be one thing that you hear on this show. There might be five that can change your life forever. And I'm not kidding. I kid you not. I've done this long enough to where I know that the nuggets that come out of people like Robert are gold, gold. So, appreciate Robert, that. We were talking, or I was talking very at length about reading a little moment ago, and you know, all these books behind me. And that's another trait I've found of successful people. Would you consider yourself to be an avid reader? And if so, what would you say would be one of your favorites, or maybe what you're reading right now?
Yes, actually, recently, it was actually one of my goals this past year. I read quite a bit, like Goosebumps and stuff like that growing up, you know, like little kids books, Power Rangers books and stuff. And I kind of fell off. My ADD has been like pretty intense. And that's actually, you commented on my guitar playing earlier with the guitar behind me, obviously. And that's actually one of the things that really helped me, kind of get my ADD under control. I realized that when I was playing guitar, it kind of like all my focus was on that. So that's kind of what led me into just focusing on things that I enjoy, you know. So when it came to books, I tried lots of different books and like the fiction didn't really sit well with me nowadays, I realized. And I tried, I'm like, oh, this is what I used to read. I want to get back into reading. Let's try this. So aside from like, you know, Ready Player One and a couple cool fiction books, it's basically like, you know, business and mindset stuff. So one of my favorite books actually was recommended to me by my good friend Xander, and it's Elon Musk by Ashley Vance. It's one of my favorite books. I've read it a few times this year already, which I shouldn't do because I just got back into reading. So I'm trying to like read like things like as much as I can, you know, hit my goal for the end of the year. But it's just a great book, and it really goes from him starting out in like South Africa and moving in with his family in Canada when he was a teenager and getting emancipated, and then coming to States, and just everything from him starting off through PayPal and up until the first Falcon launch. So it's a great book. I think the lessons, it's obviously not like full of tips and things like that, unless you know what to look for. But just reading just what he did and how he handled situations. And a lot of times, you know, Elon Musk, he's one of my biggest inspirations when it comes to, you know, determination and perseverance and stuff with what he did. But a lot of the time he handles shit, like he handles situations not the best way, you know? So it's kind of a glimpse into, you know, makes us look at ourselves too and see like these big people that we look up to, you know, not handling things the best way, and the fact that, you know, everybody needs to learn. You know, learning is how you grow and go from, you know, getting fired from PayPal to you know, putting someone on Mars. You know what I mean?
That's amazing. So the book title is Elon Musk. That's the title.
Yeah, Elon Musk by Ashley Vance. Ashley with two E's. And the recent book that I've read though is Content Incorporated by Joe Polizzi. It's about content marketing. A lot of it is older content marketing stuff. Like when I talk about the content marketing I do, I don't really like to so much call it content marketing because it's always associated with just blogs and SEO. That's pretty much content marketing is to people when you say it to them. So nowadays I think that people should probably call it content creators because, you know, there's a lot of social media involved. And my friend Kim Doyle actually likes to say that everything is content, you know, and really when you think about it, depending on how creative you are and what you're trying to do with your business or your life, I guess, like everything is content. You know, you see how many pictures of food on Instagram, you know, getting how many likes and how many people commenting. Like really everything is content when it comes down to it. But so it kind of gave me a perspective reading this book, how different people do things, because I told you earlier as well, because for everybody that's watching, we did talk for a while before we got on here. You missed some cool stuff. I'll try to recap some of it. but like I told you, like my mind is everywhere. And that's basically what I try to help people do is kind of hone in on the things that they enjoy and the things that their audience will like, as opposed to what they think their audience will like. So, you know, reading what other people are doing, it allows me to kind of get out of my bubble of my head and like what I think is working and what I want to do and focus more on like, oh, you know, their audience likes that. Maybe I should focus a little more and try that. Maybe my audience will like that.
Isn't that so true that so many people, including myself, I'm guilty of it. I think everybody is, that we want to give people what we think they want, what they want to read, what they want to hear, what we want them to experience. And it could be exactly 180 degrees opposite of what they truly want. And one of the things we were talking about right before. So this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, behind the curtain. Like we got on together about a half hour before the show. And I do that for several reasons. One is to test all the technology to make sure it's running smoothly. Another is if I don't know the person that well, I can get to know them a little bit more. But thirdly, we always, every time without fail, go into talking about topics around business and entrepreneurship. And that was one of them where, you know, so many people fall in that trap of, I think this is awesome, so I know the rest of the planet will think so too. And the key is, as Robert is expert at, is listen to the market and only do what they ask you. Only do what they tell you. So you just hit the nail on the head. It's like, well, it looks like they like that, so I'll do more of that. Instead of, this is what I like, I'll do more of that.
A caveat to that, too, though, is it's definitely a double-edged sword, though, because, you know, with that comes a lot of testing. And I guess I don't want to say what I'm known for, but I guess when it comes to content, it kind of is what is expected from me. It's very unconventional stuff. You know, I like to rustle feathers. I like to you know, kind of poke the bear, you know, see what I can get away with. And I've actually been in trouble with some platforms Yeah. Oh, here, like over the years too, and they've had it done. Like, yo, you can't do that, and I'm like, all right, well, that's all I needed. You know, I'm gonna do it until you tell me not to because it's working, or I'm gonna do it until it doesn't work. You know what I mean? So, oh man.
Well, yeah, there's another saying: controversy sells, right? And you know, depending on how far you take that, you know, you want to be careful with the whole reputation thing in mind. But yeah, controversy can sell sometimes. It can be a good thing, especially if you're, say, going into being transparent about yourself and something you messed up in your life. People love those stories because they can relate, you know, and that could be controversial. It could be, I know of a young lady who tells a story about going to jail, you know, and you're looking at her going, you? Of all people?
Martha Stewart went to prison, dude.
Well, that one I think everyone knew, but yeah.
I don't know if you saw earlier, but I actually posted on my timeline on Facebook. It was something someone said on Twitter, and it said, if you want to increase your email marketing open rates, make the subject line, we have your children. So that's a perfect example. That's a perfect example. You know, maybe don't go to that extreme. I probably would at some point. I've done things very similar. And you know, if you make the message congruent with the subject line without make people thinking you actually kidnapped their children, cool, go for it, more power to you. Hey. But just examples like that, you know, you really gotta stand, especially now, man, you have to stand out, and it's so hard to do.
True.
Like there are so many people, like everybody in the world has Facebook now. I don't know how many people, there's like billions of people probably, right? Am I off? But they all have Facebook, and everybody wants attention. So it really comes down to kind of stepping back. And what I like to say when it comes to getting people's attention, it's kind of, you know, the saying content, you know, quality over quantity, essentially. Yeah. When it comes to getting a hold of your audience or your demographic, when it comes to the content that you're doing, it's actually quality over content. Or, man, I can't even think right now. Quality over quantity, but also with quantity. You know what I mean? If that makes sense, I can break that down. If it doesn't, essentially you're going to do a lot, like just like Tommy gun, just like, you know, just spray the whole room and see who you hit at first, you know, when it comes to the content you're putting out. And then when you find something that works, you want to essentially replicate that into many different pieces of content, you know, many different things, instead of like trying to replicate what works. You want to take what works and break that up and milk it for all it's worth. You know, so the quantity comes after you find the quality, and the quality you got to really be able to step out of your bubble and be willing to piss some people off to see who likes who you are, you know, as a person, instead of trying to fit this mold. Because so many people focus on being the person, same with the product, like we're talking, you know, give people what they want, not what you think they want. So many people try to put themselves in this bubble and be this person that they think everybody wants. Everybody wants to be Gary Vee, or everybody wants to be, you know, Grant Cardone. There's a good majority of people that are watching this call right now that probably wouldn't watch Grant Cardone. You know what I mean? And people really need to be more willing to be comfortable with who they are, as tacky as it sounds. The reason it's tacky is because it's said often. And the reason it's said often is because it's true. So you really gotta be willing to piss some people off in order to find the people who appreciate you and accept you for you are. And that's really what I kind of preach, like, throughout life, not just business.
Yeah, it's called being genuine. And Carlos Redlich, thank you for all the likes and loves, man. He was like, you were talking about that Tommy gun. He was doing it right there with likes and loves. Appreciate that. And everyone that's watching, thank you. You talked about duplicating your content, and I think that was the term, I'm not sure, but to use it in other platforms. And just to give people a quick tip, it's not difficult. What you can do is repurpose your content, and I will once again pull back the curtain. This show is live. It's being recorded. This video will be repurposed into a video, of course, and I take out the audio, have it taken out, and it gets uploaded into my podcast, repurposed. I didn't have to do the show twice. I had to do it once. I got to do it once. And then I have an apprentice, an incredible apprentice, takes this one-hour show and shrinks it down to a one-minute sizzle reel and then puts a thumbnail on it. I can show you how to get these apprentices for as little as $1.07 an hour. They are amazing, and they're talented, and they're hungry. And, you know, just repurpose. And the book, I just gave it away. This show I then also upload into a transcription service. And it's automated. It's not perfect. So I have another apprentice go in and correct all the words and the ums and ahs and this and that. Then I export that and create ebooks from it, more repurposing. Take all the shows together and make a compilation collaborative book, a real book, not an ebook. So you can see that, what was that, four or five, I lost count, that I've repurposed, and I'm doing this continually. every single show. And so you can do something one time, and you could have 4, 5, 6, 10 products out of it very easily and with very little effort to boot. So I'm glad brought that up.
No problem. And I'm glad you got more into repurposing as well, because a lot of people, like one thing that I also preach just to add to the repurposing and things that you're doing is using the proper formats for the proper platforms. I preach this a lot. I had a friend of mine in the fitness niche asking how essentially they can get more content out there without killing themselves. And other than just going in or besides going into just repurposing it, how to do it properly. As far as like, so for instance, YouTube, you have videos up to like upwards of like 20 minutes, half hour, the sweet spot's usually between like 4 to 10 minutes, for a lot of stuff on YouTube. But nobody on YouTube or nobody on Facebook wants to watch a 20-minute YouTube video. People on Facebook, the attention span's different. The audience is different. It's all just different, man. They're completely different audiences. Just like on Instagram, people are really big on images or 1-minute videos. And the reason they're 1-minute videos is because it's what works with that demographic. So it's really important when you repurpose your content to use the proper kind of content and the format for the proper platform as well.
That's a huge, huge tip. I learned that very recently. Basically Instagram. So I've been branching out and having apprentices change or really increase my visibility on all the platforms. So Instagram was the next one I hit really hard, because everywhere I go, I read, hear, and experience that Instagram is really fast becoming one of the go-to social media platforms for businesses. And I said, well, I got to tap into that. And that's the same thing. Like Instagram, 1 minute is it. So that's when I had it squished down to 1 minute. Now I can use that not only on Instagram, but also on Facebook, also on LinkedIn. In that case, that one works. Going the other extreme, I agree with you wholeheartedly. YouTube, they expect longer. They might have the, wherewithal or the desire to sit through longer content. Facebook, more in and out. Twitter, even quicker in and out. I guess I don't use Twitter myself. It's not a very... I haven't seen anyone really maximize that for business yet. LinkedIn, just fairly new, is doing video. And so tapping into all these previously untapped markets, and that's the other thing, repurposing. I'm really repurposing myself by bringing on people to help and scaling the business that way. And it just takes a minimal amount of my time to train. And anyway, that's a whole different topic for a different day, but this is what happens when people – like you come on the show. It's organic. There's no script here. This is unscripted and raw, just like Robert Walsh likes it.
and I can actually add to that too. I was thinking earlier, because like you sent me all the documents. You're very professional. It's like if you get an opportunity, I'm excited. You get an opportunity to be on the show with Brian, do it. It's awesome. He's super prepared. Like the whole week is just like setting me up and getting me ready. But I'm not gonna lie, when it comes to the just the notes and everything that I took, and the information you sent me, like I glanced at it, but I didn't really go over it. And the reason I did that is because I feel like for me personally, and this probably isn't for everybody, this is just the creative side of me. When I prepare for something too much, like it's not genuine. And you said like the transparency and the genuineness, if that's a word, of these interactions, of these talks, like if I spend too much time really think about what I'm going to say, I'm not going to say what I really wanted to say in the moment. It's like, trying to prepare the same thing, going back in, trying to say what people think you want to say. If you're talking to a girl or a guy at a bar, trying to pick them up and you think too hard about like what to say to them, you don't know what the response is going to be. So be a little more open, be like, walk up to them and take the chance, be like, I was trying to think of what to say to you. I wasn't sure. Because even that transparency right there might even, open a discussion, that's actually worth having, instead of like, hey, it's weather outside today, right?
And so what Robert's talking about, to peel a curtain back even farther, is prior to the show, he got to choose which questions that we might cover on the show. We've covered one. That I kid you not, and I'm fine with it. It's never about covering the questions. So I sent him a list of about 40 questions. I said, check the box next to 10 of them that you would like. And the whole reason for my doing that is so there's no total surprise on something, that I don't bring up a topic that could bring up embarrassment, just for that reason. And Robert is like many of my other guests, they're professionals. and they've done this before. It's not their first rodeo, and he gets it, the authenticity part of it. I'm the same way. It's like, it's cool to see them once, maybe glance over, make sure they're, but you chose them originally, right? So after you've chosen them and you can feel comfortable, we're done. That's good. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So I also appreciate that about you, because it is, obviously we're going authentic, because we've covered one question out of a 10, I think, that we had. There will be one more minimum that we're going to cover, because it's going to rock everyone's world. It's going to be awesome. So this is how it works, ladies and gentlemen. When you get entrepreneurs together in any setting, whether it's one-on-one, I remember meeting you in the driveway. That's where I met you.
Yeah.
In the driveway of this castle, this mansion.
It was
and,
a castle.
You know, you were preoccupied. If I recall correctly, you had a phone and you were on it. And, you know, I'm just the guy that comes up and says hi, you know. So I just came up and respectfully said, hey, man, how you doing? And you looked up and you just shifted. You gave your attention. And I said, I like this guy immediately, instantly. And so we just started talking for a very brief period. Then I respected that you had stuff to do and walked away. And we talked more later. But this is what happens, man. You just get involved with other entrepreneurs. Go to your mastermind. It's called, say it again.
Yeah, $1 million masterminding.
$1 million mastermind.
Yeah, come check us out, man. Like, lots of good stuff, man. I'd love to meet everybody. The same interaction with you, man. You know, lifelong relationships and friendships just from that. You know, 2 minutes of talking. You know, because those kind of people like you and myself, and just people that are actually willing to learn more and meet people. It really comes down to learning. You know, because you're learning about the person. You're talking to the person. Because you're interested, you want to learn about that person, and the majority of people, you know, that turns other people off is they don't listen to learn, they listen just to wait to reply.
Yeah,
and that's a big difference between like the caliber of people that successful people and not so successful people, not just monetary, but like, you know, throughout life, that's a big difference between the mentality they have. It's, you know, just be willing to, you know, keep your mouth closed and learn about the person. Because if you don't, then you won't know if you want to meet that person. You won't know if you want to interact with that person more.
You just nailed what I just read recently in the 7 seconds, 7 secrets of 7 habits. Now I've got it, of highly effective people. talking about wanting to talk, you know, we're listening, always formulating our response, not really listening. He has a great metaphor in there about Stephen R. Covey, about his son. And it's a cool story. Read that. It's not on reachyourpeaklibrary.com, so just go find it. Google it and read that. But I want to get back to Robert, because one of the things that I always preach, and I preach this from stage, I speak on stages, and it's just 3 words. It's just show up and just do it over and over and over. And so go to the $1 million mastermind. Go to it. There's a link. There's a link. We'll shout it out when we get to the end of the show.
Sure.
Where you can go and register for one night and go meet with you had over how many people showed up?
Oh,
I mean,
oh
with a
God,
very
man.
Little notice.
So we, the event you came to, we were capping them at like, you know, 50 people. I think the one before that was even 30, you know, just, you know, feeling for it and learn how to scale and, the event properly. So where, you know, everybody's happy and we're not like running low on food or drinks, you know, it's a process as it is with anything. So, but this last one, we got a mansion on Camelback Mountain in Arizona, this last month. And man, it was like a dance club. Like I said, we had to step away. Some of us, you know, from talking to people for a while, and man, the front door, you know, Carlos's girlfriend Tiffany was there, and she was running the front door like a bouncer. Carlos and I were playing bouncer for a minute. It was crazy. People were just lined up. It was like people trying to get into the damn Hard Rock Casino or something, when, like, Kiss was playing or something, man. It was great, though. It was great. A great turnout, awesome people, like I said, very like-minded. Just great conversation and just great networking, man. That's really
good. And the cool thing is I went. And here's a tip for everyone: is when you go to these, I used to be a seminar and workshop junkie. I kid you not, I would go to anything and everything that had business or entrepreneurship. Anybody I knew that was there, I'm there. And, you know, I invested my money, I invested my time. I would be staying in hotels, etc. And one of my mentors, my favorite, well, I shouldn't say favorite mentor. No, I can't say his name, but I don't want to alienate the others.
Making friends, not enemies, Brian.
That's right. He said, you know, I was at one, and we were texting back and forth. I was at another seminar, and he says, where are you? And I told him where I was. I said, he goes, He said one thing, and all he had to do was say one word, and my whole world shifted. He said, "Why?" I mean, he wasn't questioning why I was there, you know, like he wasn't saying you shouldn't be there. He was just like, "What is your purpose? What is your outcome for being there?" And I sat back and thought, my gosh, he's right. He didn't even, he said one word, and he knew what he was saying, and he knew the reaction he would get. And he said, you know, instead of being there, you should come over to my place. And it turned out he was just a half hour away at that moment. And, you know, meet with my family. We're gonna break some bread and have some dinner together. I said, I would so much rather spend time with him. So at the next break, I respectfully exited and went. And so when you go to these events, have an outcome in mind. When you go to the Millionaire Mastermind, though, that one, or million, is it Million Dollar Mastermind? I get this.
Yeah, Million Dollar Mastermind.
Million Dollar Mastermind. I got Millionaire on the mind because of the latest book I'm reading. Million Dollar Mastermind. I went with one intention, and that was to meet in person Jeff Fagan, who you can see on this site of my on my website. He was one of my past guests, and I had not met him in person yet. He made such a profound impact on me on this show. I said, man, he told me about their next one coming up. He's part of the team, by the way. I said, I got to be there. So I went for one night. I just went there for actually 4 hours. That was it. And I drove. I kid you not, I drove 3 hours to go there. 3 hours one way because it was so far away. I got a hotel and stayed the night, spent more money. And because I went and showed up, I met someone else who is now heading up all of my ad campaigns, and he's brilliant, just because I showed up. So that's just another tip. I did get to talk to and meet Jeff and got to know him much better. I like him even more. Love that guy. And Carlos Redlich was there. Saw him for the second time. We shared the stage one time before at a fitness event. It was amazing. And so I highly recommend, this is one of those that I would highly, highly recommend if you have not been to it. The Million Dollar Mastermind is definitely go out. So reach out to my man Robert here, Robert Walsh, or Carlos Redlich, or Jeff Fagan, any of those guys that you see on the past shows, and say, hey, man, I want a ticket. How do I get in? Show me the way. Because it's amazing. You meet some fantastic people. Jeff Fagan's an incredible trainer. Incredible.
Man.
100%. And, you know, you have people like Robert there who will come up and give you a big old bear hug and welcome you there. And then you know, take you inside and show you around. So
I get a little handsy. Just let me know.
A little handsy. So, you know, you come off and always did, you know, when I first met you and since then when we've talked in Facebook back and forth, right? And so even in your typewritten words, you're a very upbeat, positive individual at all times. I get it. We're human. And we have those times where things aren't so great. That's normal. Sure. Everyone's got to go through that. But the thing is those that are successful seem to have a way of maintaining that positivity. So in that light, when it comes to maintaining that, you know, the positive, productive, and successful mindset like you have, is there something you do on a regular basis that helps you sustain that?
Routine. And I'll get a little more into that. But I will say that, you know, I have my moments. Like you said, we all have our moments. Just recently, you know, I had a day where I just wasn't feeling it, you know, and it happens to all of us. And, I'm really good. It's really bad, but I'm really good at keeping my feelings like in, but I do that for a reason because, like there's so much negativity online, man. And there's really no reason for it. Like why are you going to post something negative for everybody to see? Like for either for pity or attention. And I don't want bad attention, you know, all attention isn't good attention, you know, and I don't want pity because I'm in a situation, if it's a bad situation that I created for myself. And it's really just coming to terms with, you know, understand, take responsibility for everything. And it kind of forces you to have a good outlook because, you know, if it's completely up to you to make the situation better, if you're just sitting there sulking and you know, damn well, no one else is going to fix it for you. Like there's no, there's just no good outcome from that. So like over years, you know, of developing, you know, a better mindset and reading and working out and just really an accumulation of all the things that I found kind of lift my mood and direct my attention to more positive things. So I've been a little bit behind on my reading and I just moved this weekend, like I told you. So this week I've been a little off of my routine, but I generally wake up and I actually start making my bed My dad gave me a book. I'm sure everybody's seen it. I can't remember the name of the military. I believe it was a general or a Marine that basically wrote an entire book about why they make their bed first thing when they wake up and why they do the things and make it routine. So I started doing that. I wake up before I do anything. I make my bed. And it really just helps you kind of program your mind just from the start of the day to be productive. From there, I'll make a cup of coffee and I'll read for a little while, and then I'll go straight to the gym. And I like to kind of do all of this and all of these kind of, you know, productive and self-development things before I do anything else in the day. So a lot of the times I won't even start working until like, you know, 10 a.m., sometimes noon, depending on how long I take at the gym, how long I read and stuff like that. And then I just work throughout the evening, because it's a lot easier when you've already been doing so much to progress like early in the day, that when you jump in your work and you start working on your business or just really any hobby or anything that's important to you that really needs to get done, schoolwork, whatever, just to have all of that, the kind of that track record from the start of the day up to that point, you're like, oh shit, I've already done so much. And it was shit I enjoyed. So, you know, I might as well knock this out. So it's really just development, healthy habits, man. And I've noticed like everywhere from your diet makes a huge impact. Like it really does, man. And like the mind body business, like you got to figure it out, man. It really is a tripod. I mean, I notice like when I'm working out and I'm eating like shit, like I suffer. I notice when I'm not working out and I'm eating healthy, I suffer. You know, I notice when I eat healthy and I work out and I don't feel like I've completed what I wanted for the day, I suffer. So it's really like a pyramid of what you need to do to maintain that positive mindset. And it really does come with having a routine every day and really staying on top of yourself to keep that going to where it becomes natural. Because any routine you start from that point, anything you add to a healthy routine is just a bonus. So, and that's how you kind of keep growing and growing and growing. I believe you actually said it earlier in the call that when you're talking about the tripod or something you writ recently, if you let things build up, you have one bad thing to do today and you don't do it, then tomorrow you have two things. And then the next day you have three things. The next day you have four things. Now, if you take care of that immediately, you know, you have so much more time to devote to positive things. And if I'm doing, you know, five awesome things one day and I add one awesome thing, now I'm doing six. And it's really no extra effort because I enjoy doing it because it helps me.
Yeah, and to give credit, that was Tim Grover who said that last part.
was it?
Yeah. I like that, how I've kind of like, you know, people think and I projected that was me. You said some great things there. One that came to mind when you talked about routine, you said that word over and over and over again. And there's another similar word that has more of a negative connotation. I like routine better. But it's a very common trait of successful people, and that word is discipline. And a lot of folks, especially those who have corporate job background, such as myself, I've had that. The last thing we want is to become free. So then we then instill more discipline on ourselves because that was constraining. That there's a huge difference, though, and I want to make this very clear for anyone that's still in a corporate position looking to get out. There's such a distinction because the routine, we'll call it routine, not discipline, the routine that you devise is guess who? Guess whose routine it is? Who created it? It's yours. It's yours. No one told you how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. You did. And so it's like practice, isn't it, Robert? It's like practice that, you know, that's what the elite athletes do. They do the same thing over and over and over. And so it gets to the point where they don't even have to think about it. It's automatic. And just like Robert just said, it becomes automatic. So it's not rigorous. It's not work. It's not it's not horrible effort. It's finding a routine that works for you, that serves you. Mo Abbas, who was on the show some time ago, said one of the things he does, he's a very disciplined individual, very routine oriented. He eats the same exact salad every day for lunch. Every day. I thought, wow, I don't know too many people that do that. And he said the reason why, year one, the reason why is it made him feel good, and other things that he tried didn't make him feel as good. That, for him, feeling good was more important than something that tasted better because it helped him to perform at a higher level. That is the mindset. That kind of encompasses the book called Relentless, all in one right there. It's an amazing book. You should read that. Highly recommend it.
I've also, I know we, I'm not, I know we don't probably have much time left, but I just want to add to that. I think it was Bruce Lee that actually said as well that I don't fear the man that practices 1,000 kicks. I fear the man that practices one kick 1,000 times. And
Yes.
that just encompasses the whole routine thing right there. Because you do something enough, it becomes second nature, and you're amazing at this one thing that's so difficult for everybody else.
So I'm glad we kind of segued into that with Bruce Lee. He's a very physical guy. Talk about fit, holy smokes. And you've already alluded to that you do this as part of your routine, is go to the gym. If I recall, it was you make your bed, you get some coffee, you read, and then you go to the gym on a regular basis, and then maybe start work by noon. I mean, that's a dream lifestyle right there. It is a good dream, not a nightmare. It's a good dream lifestyle, just to be clear. So when it comes to that part, the body, physical fitness by itself, to you and your business, exactly how important is that?
Very. And I lose track of that a lot as well. I do really well in extreme conditions, you know what I mean? Whether it be extreme workouts, whether it be me panicking because I only have a little bit of time to do something, and I either procrastinated or I just wasn't able to figure it out in time. So I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, my family's like that. I grew up in a situation where it was kind of like always by the skin of our teeth. So now it's just been developing, kind of finding the uncomfortable medium that you're comfortable with, to where like, okay, this legitimately needs to happen now or else, and then you just kick its ass. So I've noticed when I slack, like with the movement stuff, I got a little behind, like I said, on my diet and my workouts, moving everything this past week and a half, and you notice a huge difference. And like with any situation, like you don't really appreciate it until it's gone, that old saying. But that's true as well. Like you don't really realize how much of an impact what you eat actually has on you, or like just sitting around at a computer all day. Like it's terrible if I don't make it to the gym. Like I just don't feel complete, and also my body doesn't feel as good when I come home from the gym. I mean, I got a nice pump, so I can look at myself and be like, ah, ooh, looking nice, and that makes a confidence boost, On top of that, your endorphins are going. You're awake. You've already completed something that was productive, so your mind's already in a good place. And top that off with like listening. I usually listen to music in the gym, right? It just gets me going. I'm a huge music nerd, obviously. I have a whole sleeve full of music notes. But I was actually listening to a Joe Rogan podcast recently. I was talking to a MMA trainer, and he said basically, no, he was a runner. It was what he was, my mistake. But he said basically listening to music when you're working out is cheating. And basically he applied that to everything in life. He's like, because if you're in a dark alley, and you have to, in his words, run away, someone's chasing you, the music's not going to be there, and that really kind of set in with me. And he said he listens to ebooks and podcasts and stuff at the gym now, to kind of learn while he's doing it, because the extra motivation he gets, the extra motivation you get, like look at it as if like taking a drug or something. It's a temporary, boost. Listening to music, as much as I love it, I stopped listening to it when I worked out because like the music's not always there. When it's time to grind, the extra help, the little boost that you're so used to having, that you've come accustomed to, is not always going to be there. So you have to be able to work with what you have available at the time. So that kind of sat with me.
I love that the tip about listening to music is cheating when you're working out. And I went through that stage myself, or phase. Here's the thing, and it's a great thing to do. One of the things I teach my clients in the fitness realm is when they're working out, is to concentrate on the muscle group that they're working on. I mean, focus on it. Like if it's your bicep, you're looking at it and you're focusing all your energy on that bicep to get the most out of your time there. And what I found personally is that was difficult to do if I was listening to a book that had content that I really needed to pay attention to. So I started doing that if I were to go, say, on a treadmill or something that didn't require that kind of concentration. And the cool thing about a treadmill is you're usually there for a longer period of time. The other thing I also listen to, and this could be valuable for everyone listening, is I recorded through this microphone that's right in front of me that many of you can't see, my own affirmations, and my affirmations are 20 minutes in length. Not looping. It's all different ones, new ones. And I basically read it from my screen, recorded it, and I'll play that back while I'm doing those that I need to concentrate on the muscle, because I've already, you know, it's something you say every morning out loud. So it's already kind of subconscious. And so it's always just going. And I don't have to listen to the words. Does that make sense? And then I can concentrate on the muscle groups. So I do a combination of music and affirmations. And music has less and less place anymore. I'm listening to audible, you know, audio books in the car. And then on occasion, I'll put on some music. And then I don't know what it is. Like 2-3 minutes into it, I'm like, I'm not getting enough. I got to switch back over to a book.
It's I'm not going to lie, man. When I'm working, like usually when I listen to stuff, it's the opposite for me, and it's weird and it's crazy, you know, that like we both have like the success mindset, but it works in different areas. You know what I mean? Like I listen to the ebooks and the podcasts at the gym, and then like with the work I do, it's very creative, so I have to kind of, you know, be inside my own head when I'm like either typing copy or, you know, helping a client create like a content, you know, campaign or like a script or whatever it is that I'm doing. Right. So I usually have like these headsets right here. I'm like this all day with music playing, like typing and you know, creating stuff. So yeah, man, it just it helps me zone out. And I realized that I shouldn't be zoned out at the gym, you know. So
Yeah, music is great. I mean, I used to use it to cram for finals in high school, and I would crank it up loud, and it helped when I was studying. I didn't really listen to the words, you know, just listen or it helped me it drowned out the white noise, the noise that was uncontrollable. And it just gave me stuff I knew that I was aware of and comfortable with. You know, we're getting down to the near end of this show, which I can't believe. We could go another hour if everyone who's watching still wants to hang with us. We'll just keep going. I know it's late where you are in Illinois. But I do have one more burning question that I love to ask each of my guests. And it's a big one. And I invite you to take all the time you need to think of the answer. And for you, it'll probably come like that because you have that creative mind and you're so authentic, things come quickly. It's really interesting what the other guests have said in response to that. So, and before we get to that, real quick, now I want to let everybody in on how they can win that 5-night vacation stay at a 5-star, thank you very much, 5-star resort in Mexico, compliments of powertexting.com. I'm going to put it up on the screen right now, and I will say it audibly in case you're listening live. There's two ways to enter. One is go to the website reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation, and just make sure vacation is all lowercase. One more time, it's reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation, or if it's easier for you, just take out your phone and text the word peak, that's p-e-a-k, to the number 661-535-1624. As they like to say, operators are standing by now. No, they're not really, but I'll see them as they come in. So again, text PEAK, P-E-A-K, to 661-535-1624. And by the way, all of this technology that you're about to embark on to win this is actually technology provided by powertexting.com. I kid you not. So I highly recommend you check them out because text messages are opened up at a much higher rate than emails. So another free tip, no extra charge, right there. So, back to the man, the myth, the legend, Robert Walsh.
I can't wait till that statement's true.
And you can tell, look at him, he looks very stressed, tense. He's like, what the heck is this question? And I'm kidding, for those of you that can't see him. He's very relaxed, drinking another slug of water, just chill because, you know, he's a pro. And here it is. Are you ready? Are you ready for this, Mr. Walsh?
Man, lay it on me.
All right. This is all you. Oh, and I want to kind of let you off the hook here. I just want to take away any maybe hidden stress or anxiety that might be going on. And that is, there is no such thing as a wrong answer to this question. In fact, quite the opposite. The only correct answer is your answer. That's
now,
it.
Now, before you ask that question, Brian, I have to let you know, I've heard that same exact spiel from each one of my ex-girlfriends, so I'm more nervous now than I was before you asked that question.
Oh, this is let's great. All right, well, let's string this out about 10 more minutes, let you sweat. No, I'm kidding. No, this will be much less painful, I hope. When you say X, are you ready? We'll kind of get
Yeah,
centered
let's do
here.
it, man.
All right, Robert Walsh, how do you define success?
It's actually an easy question, man. Just a weight just came off of my shoulders when you asked that question. To add to just the simple answer, of just saying, I guess, being content, because of me being content is being happy. But I guess it's also kind of different for me because a lot of people are content with mediocrity, and with me being content is that I'm, growing and that I'm actually making an impact, and it's basically like being content is different for everybody else. So I guess so I wanted to kind of go into that a little more. Growing up, I had a very rough lifestyle, man. I was very secluded, being homeschooled from, fourth grade, all the way up to high school. I was really awkward, like around people, and just not really good at talking to people. And it wasn't until I was like in my 20s and I was actually kind of forced myself to get out there, that it happened. And that's actually, I guess, why I'm so open now, is because I actually forced myself to like learn how to, interact with people and be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. So I guess just being happy, man. Like I said, we've all come from really rough backgrounds. We've all have our own struggles and our own battles that we encounter and have to make it through. And it just comes down to getting that place to where you're happy with what you're doing, you're happy with the people that you're around, and that the people you're around actually, make an effort to return the favor and making sure you're happy and that you're just doing what you can for each other. And that's in business, friendships, relationships, everything, man. It's just really an accumulation of the scenario that you fight yourself in and the effort that you put into keeping yourself there.
Absolutely perfect, because again, the only correct answer was yours. And I'll tell you another little secret. It's not really a secret because I mention it every show. To date, I imagine at some point this is going to become untrue, but to date, no two answers have been the same. And still with yours, the same is true. And th there, but there are there is one common trait amongst all of them, and I'll talk about that in just a second because we're just over our hour time. But I just want to point out what you said, being content, and then you chunk that down. You analyze that, and what that meant was you're growing, and then you chunked it down farther and said, well, what does that really, what makes me happy about that? And that's when you said making an impact. And so it's all about, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's about serving others. This is what drives people. This is what people like Robert define as their success. He forced himself to interact with others, he says. And because of that, because he went out of his comfort zone, he can now impact others in positive ways. And here's the thing that not a single person has said, yes, not a single person has, of my guests that have come on, not one has said that their primary reason or their primary definition of success had anything to do with money. Isn't that interesting? You find the scarcity mindset, the non-entrepreneur sectors, they're outliers to this, of course, but a lot of those that are in line with the lotto tickets, money is the first and foremost thing on their mind at all times. And if they were asked that same question, many of them would say, well, the second I make my first million, that's when I'll be successful. The thing is successful people don't think that way. That's the key. But is money important, Robert? Should money be a priority in your life?
I mean, it has to be. I mean,
Yes.
let's be honest. It absolutely has to be. But I have to say, every single, like the most, I'll just chalk it up to the most successful people I know, right? From multimillionaires to millionaires to, just people that are happy in their life, even without all the money, like just success in their livelihood, with their family and stuff. Every single one of them that I know personally has suffered immensely helping other people in order to get there. The people that are making all the money, like my friends who are doing very well financially, they've all slept on couches, and their focus was giving value and helping people on that path to making that money. It wasn't screwing people over and pulling a fast one on people to try to get to that money. you know, because even if that does work for a short time, I mean, people see through that shit and it's not going to last a very short time.
That's the point right there. You just said it. It's not long. It's not a long-term recipe for success. You might get a quick kill. I like to call that some of those. The network marketing industry has what I call quick kill artists that just want to recruit, and then they don't support the people they recruit, and they keep moving on to the next person, and that's built on a house of cards. It's just going to all come tumbling down, and it does every single time. And then they move on to another company and do the same thing, and they don't realize the wake they've left behind them of devastation, of lack of support. And so that's why please don't give me any hate mail about network marketing. I used to co-own a network marketing company. I believe in the philosophy, the strategy wholeheartedly. I'm just making one example here. So I just want to get that out of there. I could maybe send out an email and make some controversy like Robert. Maybe I'll ask you how to do that. I want to really tick off all the MLMers out there. I don't want to do that. Really love MLM. But yeah, it's just a short-term strategy that doesn't last. And why? You know, you're not serving anybody but yourself. It's so self-serving. I think we were all put on this planet to help each other, you know. And 100%. I, for one, love helping people. I know you do, Robert. That's why the people that come onto my show are all like-minded in that way. So I appreciate you, brother. I thank you so much for coming on. I want to make sure before we say goodbye to everybody, though, this is very important. How can people best get in touch with you? What is their best way to locate you?
All right, I'll just keep this one short. I could go into the reasoning, but I guess just add me on Facebook, just Robert Walsh. I'll show up. You'll see me. I think I'm actually sitting on top of a mountain in my profile picture right now. And you can also join my Facebook group. It's just free and it's just value. And basically we just shoot the shit like we do now and learn off each other. And that's method marketing. So just Facebook group Method Marketing and just add me on Facebook. Follow me, man. Robert Walsh. Let's be friends. Oh.
Let me pull that up real quick. I want to make sure people get the visual. There you are. There we are live down below. But Robert Walsh, there's his picture. And Millionaire Mastermind.
Million Dollar Mastermind.
Man.
It's all good, man. MillionDollarMastermind.com.
Mastermind. Yes. Thank you. Yes, I had to do my there. So when you see that,
there it is.
You're going to see I think that might be Jeff back there. That's blurry right there. It could be. You have upcoming locations. See, they go to Arizona, California, Florida. They're all over the place. There's Jeff, my buddy Jeff, who was on a past show. Yeah. Robert Nava, incredible at Shopify and e-commerce. Great, incredible team. They've got a lot more besides just those two gentlemen. Highly recommend you connect and go to one of those upcoming events. Just reach out to Robert here on his Facebook. And his Facebook username is Method Rob 2, the number digit 2. So not the word 2, but Method Rob 2, in case you have any trouble finding him, because Robert and Walsh are very common, like Brian and Kelly. I know how that goes. Fantastic. Well, once again, Robert, I so appreciate your time, your energy for being on. You just moved into a new place, and I know that that kind of stirs things up a bit, and I appreciate you still coming through. The show must go on. And for all of these that have watched, that have been watching throughout the show, appreciate you that came on. Those of you watching the recording, thank you for all the likes and loves. We appreciate you too. We'll be back next week with another phenomenal guest. And that's it for this show. So until next time, on behalf of Mr. Walsh, the man, myth, the legend, this is Brian Kelly. Be blessed now. Have a great, great evening.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been the Mind Body Business Show with Brian Kelly.